Thank you, Nathan. If you have not already turned there, I would invite you to turn to the book of Psalms. We have been looking for a number of weeks at church health, and we have discussed definitions and things of that nature. I don't know if it's a matter of urban church legend or not. Maybe you've heard this before, but it was told to me, and it was in my file, about a pastor who pastored a large church, semi-large church, and he was the preaching pastor there. And one Sunday morning, he got up in the midst of the congregation to do his sermon. And he looked out, and he began with a wonderful prayer, and then his sermon was the following. I was too busy this week to prepare a message, and he sat down. How would you feel if I sat down right now? Would that have inspired you to love God more? Would that have moved you to ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name? Would that have turned your heart inside out in the presence of the Lord so that you would have gone from this place today having met with Almighty God? That's really a rhetorical question, because the answer is maybe. And maybe not. I don't know. Because the Holy Spirit and God work in mysterious ways. And maybe for that time with that congregation at that moment, in the ministries they were doing, in the busyness or whatever, they needed to hear that message. I don't know if it's urban church legend or not. But for a church to be healthy and a church to be a church, we have already discussed, and it's a very central and critically important thing about treating the Word of God as the Word of God and dealing with it soundly, in a sound manner. Beth and I were listening this morning just for a few brief minutes to a preacher on the radio, and he was using Scripture in a way that was unmistakably wrong. He was just using text to prove his point, not in what the text was saying. And it was a shame. We just kind of stood there dumbfounded, like, I don't know. And so none of the things that we're talking about in church health have a necessary priority. This is number one, this is number two, this is number three. If a body is healthy, if a church, not just a local church, but if the church is healthy, then the hands need to do what the hands do, and the feet need to do what the feet do. And if we talk about the hands, or we talk about the feet, or we talk about the brain or the heart, they all need to function well. It's just for that day we're focusing on one of them. And today we're focusing on worship. Because a church, to be a church and a healthy church, needs to understand and we need to worship. Health is a term that we use as our expression for the normal functioning of life as God has designed it. That's how one author put church health. Health is our expression for the normal functioning of life as God has designed it. The basic building block so far is God, His Word, and worship. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And a few verses later, in the council room, in the throne room, God has a conversation with Himself, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he uses a pronoun and he says, let us make man in our image. And so in the image of God, he created them male and female. That was before the fall. That was before anything. And we were created perfectly in the image of God as human beings. For what purpose did God do that? It's a question that has deep ramifications and deep understandings. And no matter, you know, what aspect we're talking about, whether it's the immediately following verses of dominion and subduing the earth and those kinds of things, or being the icons, the display of who God is to a fallen world, you know, after the fall. One of the things that definitely happens in creation, the creation of Adam and Eve with God, the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. They had a relationship with him. They related to him as an individual, as a being, and they walked with him, and they talked with him, and he told them that they were his own. And the joy they shared as they tarried there, none other shall ever know. They had a relationship with God. They were rightly related to each other. They understood in a way that is completely unique because of the fall what it meant to be with God, to worship God, to ascribe to God the glory that was due his name. And you and I live in an age, and not just 2011, but in a church age, in a church cultural age, where we have defined worship in such demeaning ways. We use the word worship to mean the music at church. It's worship music, right? I mean, you go to the bookstore and you buy worship music. And we have reduced worship to just music. Some churches have the aspect of let's limit the pastor's preaching to about 10 to 12 to 15 minutes, but we'll sing for an hour and a half because that's worship. Totally diminishing the word of God spoken. We have what are called the worship wars, because even in the music that we sing, some people like the hymns and some people like the contemporary, and we're willing to split churches over it. We're willing to not go to a church because of their worship music, or to go to a church because of their music. Maybe there's an underlying argument behind it that does need a little bit of threshing out. But worship is the activity of glorifying God in his presence with our voices and hearts. So does it include music? Absolutely. Does it include announcements? As we practice it, it ought to. Does it include prelude? Does it include benediction? Does it include offering? Does it include worshiping in the Word? Include worshiping in the Word? As we practice it here, it ought to. From the very first moment to the very last moment, we should be, as worshipers of God, glorifying him in his presence. And so the argument is that worship is Godward. It is towards him. It is about him. It is for him. And what happens when that happens? Well, Psalm 89:15. Ah. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of thy countenance. Just like Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the cool of the day, how blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of thy countenance. We are here today in this place to worship, glorify God in his presence. If God is not here, we are not worshiping. Period. If we came because we like the music, we like each other, we like the overhead, we like the building, and those things aren't bad, but that's not worship. They might be conducive to worship, and that's a good thing, to create an environment where people encounter Almighty God. That's actually how our worship team defines what we do here. Intentionally to create an environment where we can meet with God face to face in his presence. Worship is Godward, and what we do in worship, what makes it uniquely worshipful, one of the things anyways, is that we delight in him. What do you have delight in? What do you have delight in? What is it that will bring a... You've seen the emails. I'm sure you've gotten them. You know, what's your favorite smell? What's your favorite sound? And then you put your answer there. And what brings a smile to your face? You know, the smell of fresh-cut grass, the smell of road tar, the smell of gasoline, the smell of baking bread. You know, all those things kind... You know, what's your favorite sound? A baby laughing. Raindrops on the rooftop or in a mud puddle. You know, they make, most of you are smiling. I'm trying to hit nerves here. I'm trying to hit, you know, what it is that brings you delight. Some of, okay, nobody's smiling anymore because I mentioned that. But what is it that brings you delight? Is there anything in life that just makes you all warm and fuzzy? Yeah, let's be careful. What is it that brings you true satisfaction? A job well done. A game plan well executed. All the I's dotted and the T's crossed. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. David, one thing, the only thing, the one thing that I want is to gaze and meditate upon the beauty of the Lord in his temple. That's the one thing I want. Psalm 16, 11. Thou wilt make known to me the paths of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 73, 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and beside thee I desire nothing on earth. Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2, 4 and 10. How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. How blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Are you chomping at the bit to get some spaghetti and meatballs right now? Are you chomping at the bit to get back to Facebook? Are you chomping at the bit to get to watch the game? There is a game today, right? I think there's two games today. What is it that brings you delight? What is it that your mind and your heart right now are dwelling on? Is it to, did I miss one? Something? Go Steelers. That's all I got to say. In any case, what is it that we desire but Him in life? What is it that brings you desire? If we're truly in a place where worship is happening, our desire, our satisfaction, our pleasure, our joy is uniquely and only Him. Does that mean that it's sinful to want to see the game, to want to have spaghetti and meatballs, to want to be on Facebook? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But if that's all that's going on as we congregate, yeah, there's something wrong with that. That's not worship. And to be healthy as a church, a body of believers need to worship Him. We delight in God. He delights in us. Scripture says that. He actually in places calls us the apple of His eye. He bestows upon us every good and perfect gift. We could talk about that. In worship, not only do we delight in Him, but we draw near to Him. Hebrews 10:19 and following, 10:18 actually, Hebrews 10:18 and following. It's real deep waters in Hebrews there as the author is arguing for his Jewish brethren to come to Jesus Christ. So he talks about sacrifices and the Holy of Holies, but there are phrases and words in here that just resound for all worshipers. Starting at verse 18 going through 24 of Hebrews chapter 10. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Since therefore, brethren, we have a confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some. We can enter into the Holy of Holies. We can walk in the cool of the day with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed us and be in His presence, not unlike Adam and Eve. We draw near to Him, and it says when we do that, He draws near to us. Not only is it our desire for a worshiper to desire God, to be satisfied in Him, but we draw near to Him. Is that what you are here for today? And that's, I don't necessarily mean hope, you know, just here. I mean, anybody should ask themselves the question as they walk in on a Sunday morning, is that what they're here for? Is that what they're there for? There are other reasons people go to church. And how do you know if that's why you're here? Well, is it what the church does? Is it what the church is aiming at? Or is the church aiming at a wonderful emotional experience? Or is the church aiming at something else other than God? Well, how would you know? Well, you just need to evaluate what they do and how they do it. So, for example, if we were to sing songs, good songs, Christian songs, that were completely horizontal, always horizontal, we would know. What do I mean by horizontal? The Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The Bible. That's a good song, right? I mean, we teach our kids that. We want them to sing that. I mean, is that a worship song? I'm asking. No. Somebody said no. I heard no. No. Could be. Maybe. I don't know. Well, is it Godward? You're making a wonderful statement about the Word of God and where you stand, but is it Godward? Are you singing towards how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed? Have you said anything to God in that song? Now, I'm straining at a gnat. I'm trying to make a point. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. That has been sung to God. If I were to put the music up that we sang today, uniquely those three in the middle, the pronouns were all you and your. We were singing directly to him. I know somebody in this congregation, and maybe he has shared this before, but whenever we sing "Our God is an awesome God," he changes the words when he sings it. He sings and he says, "Oh God, you are an awesome God." It's uniquely Godward. Does that mean that we're not worshiping when we're singing towards each other? Not necessarily. But if that's all we're doing, it's a very short walk from worshiping God to worshiping each other. It's a very short walk to do that. And it's not a percentage game. I don't want to say that. If we sing one that's kind of horizontal and three that are vertical, we're good. What kind of environment would it create? Now, the Bible, yes, that's the book for me. Maybe that song means something uniquely special to you, and your heart responds to Almighty God internally in such a way that is worshipful. That is very possible. But if we are going to be intentional about it, we want more songs with you and your to be sung vertically towards him. We state our desire for him. And then what happens? When we do that, when we worship God and it's uniquely God-word, what is something that we can expect? Ephesians 5:19. When we come together, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What is the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble? Each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. And we've already read Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. When we come together to worship God and we sing and make melody in our heart, when we let the word of Christ richly dwell within us, when we admonish one another, when we fellowship and when we come together, when a gathered group of people is Godward, God ministers to them because of who He is. We do get blessed by God when we worship, when we are Godward, just being in His presence. God will minister to us in our needs because of who He is. And yes, I know that I said we have reduced worship to music. And most of my examples this morning were about music. But don't be mistaken. If the announcements are not Godward, if the message is not Godward, if the benediction is not Godward, none of it is worship. And in order to be healthy, worship must be Godward. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for who You are. We are thankful that even though a sermon appears to be horizontal, an encouragement, Father, may our hearts be inclined to worship You in spirit and in truth. May our desire be for You alone as worshipers, understanding the priority, the role of walking with You, understanding who we are in Christ, and understanding what those other kind of secondary, ancillary, Facebook, football game type things really mean in the overall scheme of relating to You. Doesn't mean they're evil, Lord, or wrong. Just help us to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. We will conclude this morning by singing, "Here I Am to Worship."
Stand. Here we are to worship.